Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
Four benefits of gratitude. The well-known Cleveland Clinic reported that an attitude of gratitude leads to overall wellness. Here are five things you can start doing today that will increase your gratitude levels, enhance your Christian testimony, and generally improve your life. This is the first message in our new series called Be Thankful. In the show notes, I've shared the link to watch the video of this sermon, as well as some other related links.
You guys might remember, it's a favorite little song of mine. Do you remember the song? It goes, if you're happy and you know it. Right? You got it. Good. There's a line in there, though, that says, if you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it. Right? I think we don't stretch the meaning if we say, if you're happy and you know it, your life will surely show it. I think that people could see that in our life, or they should see that in our lives. But sadly, there's a lot of people that sometimes you look at them and say, you know, whatever it is you're believing, and apparently it's not making it up to your face. I'd like to see that from you. And you know, it's... Listen, this is nothing new. Charles Spurgeon, he's talking to a group of young people that are in training to be pastors when he said these words to them. He says, I commend cheerfulness to all who would win souls, not levity and frothiness, but a genial, happy spirit. There are more flies caught with honey than with vinegar. And there will be more souls led to heaven by a man who wears heaven in his face than by one who bears Tartarus in his looks. Now, in Greek mythology, Tartarus was kind of the place under Hades. I mean, it was like farther down than Hades was. It was a dark place. And he says, you know, if you want to win people to Jesus, if you want to show people what heaven looks like, they should see heaven in your face. Not look at you and hear one thing coming out of your mouth and then look at your face and go, well, you don't seem to be very happy about this. And, you know, like he says, not being silly about it, not frothy and giddy, but genuinely happy. Now, listen, the world around us makes it really easy to complain about things. And we have a tendency to complain about the things that we don't have. If you think back, the very first temptation that you ever see in the Bible, the first one who ever stumbles, it's really what led Lucifer to become Satan when he said, I've got everything, but there's one other thing that I think that I want, one other thing that I think is owed to me. And it was the same strategy that he used when he said to Adam and Eve, don't look at all this stuff that God gave you. Look at this one thing that you don't get. Be ungrateful for the one thing that you don't have instead of being grateful for all the things that you do have. Now, listen, for us as Christians, when we're happy, we point people to God. When we're unhappy, when we wear that sour look on our face, we rob God of his glory. People don't get a chance to see how good, how happy God is, how much he wants to bless us. And so we need to share that. It needs to show up in our face. And, you know, I find it interesting. I always love when science and other worldly discoveries finally catch up with what's been in the Bible all along. You know, they finally get there. And I've been doing some research over the last couple weeks on what do psychologists, medical professionals, what do they say about gratitude? Because gratitude is really an intangible thing, right? I mean, it's not like you can't go in and do surgery on somebody to repair their gratitude. You can't draw blood and test them and see what your gratitude level is. So why would scientists, why would medical personnel even care about that? Because it's so intangible. And yet, it's amazing how many studies are out there where they have found what the benefits are. Now, I want to give you three of them that just come straight from the scientific or the medical textbooks. The first thing that they found is that it's psychological. There are psychological benefits They found that people that are grateful people, people that will quickly change from, oh, this is kind of negative to, but yes, look what I have. They've talked about their level of self-satisfaction, that they're satisfied with where they are in life. Instead of saying, oh man, you know, look at what I don't have. Those people that do that, how quickly that their mood can be self-regulated, self-adjusted. They don't need somebody else coming to them saying, hey, buck up, get, you know, come on, look at the bright side of life. They're able to do that themselves if they will practice being grateful. Okay, so they found that these psychological results. They've also found physical results. People who are grateful, they found that they have a more energized immune system. They have less aches and pains in their body. They recover faster from surgical procedures. That the levels of inflammation in their body are lower. Their ability for their blood pressure to be regulated. All of those things they tie directly to people who are grateful people. So there's psychological benefits. There's physical benefits. But scientists have also pointed out the social benefits. That people that they say, quite simply, I like one researcher said, there's no other way to say this, grateful people are more likable people. You don't need a study to tell you that, do you? I mean, if you're around somebody who's negative, you're not probably going, I can't wait to hang out with you again. You know, but when you're around somebody who's positive and grateful and looking at those things, then you're like, oh yeah, okay, I like being around you. You make me feel good when I'm. Now, these things are all what science has told us, but we can add another one. As Christians looking at the Bible, we can add another one, and we can say that there's a spiritual benefit. And this is really, over the next couple weeks, what we're going to unpack. I just want to give you kind of an overview today. I want to give you some things to get you started in maybe rethinking your levels of gratitude. But there's all kinds of spiritual benefits. The Bible, throughout Scripture, from beginning to end, talks about grateful people recognizing the blessings of God that are around them. Not saying, well, I'm grateful and therefore God's blessing me, but saying God's already blessing me and I just get to discover it and rejoice over it. And especially one of the overriding things is when we recognize how good God is and we are grateful for that, how that points other people to Him. Fellow saints, that, hey, let's worship together. Let's be thankful together. So in kind of corporate worship, but also in our individual lives as well. And like I said, because ingratitude has been a point of temptation that the devil uses, grateful people have a guard against that. They're able to refute that a little bit more. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. He's talking to, now, the church at Philippi, he loves this church. You can write in his opening words, he says, man, every time I think about you guys, I'm just so excited what God has done in your life. So this is a book that is overflowing with gratitude. And when we come to Philippians chapter 2, he says, really, your gratitude is going to be what sets you apart from everybody else. So verse 14, do as many things as you can without complaining or arguing. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Everything. How can you work that in? Because then he says, here's the result. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And then I love this phrase, in which you shine like stars in the universe. That's kind of what science said, is that grateful people, non-grumbling people, you like to be around them. And Paul said, it's going to be the same way. You're going to shine brightly. You'll stand out from the crowd when you're not grumbling or complaining, but when you're a grateful person. So you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He's saying, let my rejoicing, let my gratitude be a trigger to remind you to be grateful. And as I hear that you're grateful, boy, that just reminds me. And you talk about a virtuous cycle, one that just keeps on building. I'm gonna lift you up. You're gonna lift me up. And boy, we keep bouncing off each other. But that's what makes us stand out from the crowd. In this crooked and depraved generation, your lack of grumbling, your lack of complaining, but on the flip side, your rejoicing and your thankfulness and your gratitude makes you shine like a star. It makes people stand out, or makes you stand out in other people's mind. And I love this because if you go back and look up in the dictionary, the word influence, go back to its origin. The origin of the word influence meant this. It wasn't a biblically created word. It was a word among pagans with their gods. They said that influence meant, we think that that is the power that flows from the stars that controls our lives, influences our life. And what Paul is saying here is you can do the same thing. You can begin to influence the trajectory of other people's lives because you're different than everybody else around them. It's so easy to start grumbling and complaining and saying, oh, look, that's wrong. They should fix this. They should do that differently. If only they would figure this part out. And that's so easy to do. But to say, well, hold on a second. But what about this? Have you thought about that we could even be grateful for? And why don't we point out this? That will make you stand out from the crowd. So, like I said, we're going to dig into these things a little bit more in depth over the next couple of weeks. But let me just give you four things. And these are really, I want you to start thinking about maybe a tack that you've been on and then how you could switch, how you can make a switch to another one. The first one is just straight up, just switch your perspective. What have you been looking at that you don't have that maybe you've been ungrateful for? How can you switch that around so that you say, I'm going to be grateful for that thing? I want to take you to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 when he's talking about, there's a passage here where four times he says, do not worry. I think worry comes from a focus on what we don't have. The lack that we think is there. Whereas gratitude is being thankful for what we do have. And I want you to notice how the switch is, because the first three times that Jesus says, do not worry, he's going to tell us the switch in our perspective. Okay, let me show this to you. He says, so verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry. So don't focus on what you don't have. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Here's the switch. He tells us, look. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at what you don't have. Look at the birds of the air. You can't find anything else. Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Okay, so now he said, now that you see those, now think about it this way. Are you not much more valuable than they? So who of you, by your worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Okay, so take your switch away from what I don't have and look. He says, look at the birds. Look there. Now, verse number 28. And why do you worry about clothes? Here's the switch. See. Again, they look and now see. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So again, don't worry, but look. Don't worry, but see what's happening here. Here's our third one. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here's our switch. But seek. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. So there's three switches that he tells us on our perspective. Every time that he says, do not worry, says, look at the birds, see the lilies, seek his kingdom. And then in case you missed it, he has a conclusion. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we need to catch our perspective that is tending towards what we don't have. And you'll probably best notice that because you begin to worry. You start to wring your hands. You start to wonder, oh, are we going to have enough? Is it going to make it to? Will the supply hold out? When you start thinking that way, switch your perspective. I don't want to look at what I don't have. Let me look. Let me see. Let me seek these things that God is where he's already provided. The next thing that we need to do that's very important for us is to strengthen our relationships. You need to get other people around you that are going to be grateful people, thankful people, full of thanks, full of gratitude. You need to have those people around you because, you know, there's going to be times when it's hard for you to look, to see, and to seek because everything seems so dark. Boy, I'm having a hard time finding something. You need to have those friends around you that can say, well, let me help you see something. Let me point something out. Because you know what's going to happen later on? They're probably going to need you to do the same thing for them. So you need to strengthen the relationships of the people that are around you. Listen to what Paul said. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he writes about Timothy comes. He says, Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. And you can hear Paul's like, oh man, I'm so excited to hear this. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. So therefore, here's the conclusion. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, in all of the negative stuff that was going on around us, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. When we heard what was going on with you, that was an encouragement to us. We were in the midst of the battle. We were distressed that things were pressing in on us. And then we heard this. What a breath of fresh air it was. For now, we really live since you're standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. We're hearing good things about you, and it has so encouraged us. We can't wait to get back to you so we can encourage you. So find those relationships. You know, I've had people before tell me, and I agree with them. They say, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're right. You don't have to. But I always said, but why would you rob others of your encouragement, of your presence, of your gratitude, of your thankfulness? And why would you rob yourself of that from other people? So do you have to? No. But you get to. And that's a lot better, you know, to think, I get to be around these people. So find those people. You might have to seek them out because, like I said, it's really easy to find the negative people. You might just, all you have to do is walk into the break room at work and you could probably find the negative people. Okay, they're really easy to find. Open up your social media, turn on the news. The first things you're going to see is probably a lot of negative stuff. It's really easy to find that. You're going to have to hunt out the people, but strengthen those relationships. Say, be intentional. I need to spend some time with you. I need to hang out with you a little bit. Just like Paul said here. Boy, when that message came, oh man, was that like a breath of fresh air for us. And I can't wait to get back to you guys to give you some good words as well. I want to reciprocate this. I want to just keep on building this up. So that's our second thing. The third thing that we can do is begin to foster the healthy habits in your life. There is a short verse in the Bible when Luke is talking about the development of Jesus. And Luke gives us a little picture of Jesus when he's 12 years old. And then we see him again at about 30, starting his public ministry. We don't know a lot about those 18 years in between. None of the gospel writers really talk about that. But Dr. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and using his medical training, notes something about Jesus. And he sums it up in one verse. This is how Jesus developed. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. This is the picture of perfect health. He said that he made good decisions to develop his mind, his wisdom, his stature, his physical body, in favor with God, his spiritual life, and in favor with men, being around other people. He made those good choices to do that. We have to do that too, because a lot of times our ingratitude comes from a deficiency somewhere else. We're not thinking right, or maybe we're not feeling right. Maybe we haven't put the right kind of food into our body, or we haven't gotten enough sleep. I mean, anybody ever recognize how much darker the world seems when you haven't had enough sleep? You know, we have a word when you haven't eaten right or you haven't eaten at all. We call it being hangry. You know, you're so hungry, you're angry at everything around you. We need to make good choices in those areas, healthy choices, healthy habits for our mind, for our emotions, for our physical body, for our relationships, in our spiritual appetite. We need to make sure we're eating God's word, we're praying. Those things will all contribute. So we talked about, if you remember, last year we did a year-long series where we talked about a Christian's mental health. One of our habits that we talked about was checking your inputs. When you're struggling, check the inputs. Think about, have I eaten? Have I slept? Have I been around positive people? Have I been spending good enough time reading God's word and praying? My thought life, how's that been? We need to correct those things, make good habits in those things. The next thing that we can do, I think is so vital, is to keep a gratitude journal. Write the things down that you are grateful for. I did several years ago, right at Thanksgiving time, for our church, I called it the 365-day challenge. And I encourage everybody to write down just one thing that you're grateful for each day for a whole year and try not to repeat yourself, so that at the end of the year, you have 365 things. Being the overachiever that I am, I thought, you know what? I'm gonna write down three things every day. I got so many things to be grateful for. That was one of the hardest things that I did. So I ended up with 1,095 things at the end of the year. But that was every day saying, okay, so what can I find that I'm thankful for that I haven't already listed? Write those things down. This is what the psalmist records. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles and they did not remember. They didn't write these things down to be thankful for. They did not remember your many kindnesses. And here's the result then. They rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. They barely got out of Egypt. The first obstacle that they run into, they had already forgotten all the miracles that God had done. And they're already starting to grumble. Oh, you brought us out here just to die in the desert? Why couldn't we just die back in Egypt? Okay, so write it down because you will forget. It's been said, I don't know who said it, but I like this thing. The weakest ink is better than the strongest memory. Okay? So do write it down. Even if it's just a word or two, just a little bullet point, write it down. What are you grateful for? Keep that journal because there's going to be times that you're going to need to go back and remind yourself of what God has done for you. And then once you've written it down, talk about it. Talk about your gratitude. Tell people what you're thankful for. Don't wait until just Thanksgiving Day and say, here's something I'm grateful for this year. Don't wait until somebody's birthday and say, here's what I'm thankful for you. Find opportunities to express your gratitude all the time. Because when you do, it builds up other people. Look at this. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what's on my gratitude list. The deeds for which he is to be praised according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel according to his compassion and his many kindnesses. I'm going to tell people all around me. Let me tell you how much God has blessed me. That not only benefits people around you, but sometimes people start saying, well, yeah, I heard those stories from grandma and grandpa. I heard those stories from my mom and dad. Is that still applicable for me today? Well, as we keep telling these stories, then we can say these words, believe them, that God said, even to your own old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. They just continue to go generation after generation. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So don't wait to pull out your gratitude. Don't wait until somebody's like really struggling and saying, hey, let me tell you about how grateful it is. Talk about it all the time. Yes. Constantly tell people. And then, as we've said, this becomes a testimony to other people. Because then Peter says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. When you're living so full of gratitude, so full of thankfulness, people are going to say, how can you live like that? How can you be grateful all the time? I don't see the world the way that you see the world, apparently. What's going on? And then you have a chance to tell them where your blessings come from. What's the source of all the blessings that we have? But when you live that way, when you're happy and you know it, and your face, your life surely shows it, people will come and they will ask you for this. I love this. I want to close with this thought from Blaise Pascal. This was so brilliant on his part. He said, there are three kinds of people in the world. Those who have sought God and found him and now serve him. Those who are seeking him but have not yet found him. And those who neither seek him nor find him. The first are reasonable and happy. The second, they're reasonable but they're unhappy. And the third are unreasonable and unhappy. We want to be in the category of people that are reasonable and happy. So that's the category of people who seek God and find God and who are writing down their areas of gratitude, sharing their areas of gratitude, that are making the switch every time that you feel the worry start to come. Oh, wait a minute. Why am I worried? Because I'm thinking about something I don't have. How can I make this switch to something that I'm grateful for that I do have? Find those people that are, find the things in your own life, get around those people that can remind you. Say, hey, I'm going to pull out my gratitude journal. Let me tell you, maybe this will help spark your faith. Maybe this will trigger memories for you of where God has blessed you. It requires a lot of us together doing this thing, and it begins to build. Just like we saw with Paul, how we're so glad to hear this good report. Even when we're in a dark situation, we can't wait to come back and bless you guys as well. We should be that same way. Like I said, those benefits are, there's psychological benefits, there's social benefits, there's physical benefits, and there's spiritual benefits as well. All from making the choice to be grateful people. So I challenge you. Take one or two of those list of five things that you can do differently and figure out a way to add it to your life. Start a gratitude journal. Maybe make a conscious decision. Hey, I know somebody who's really upbeat. They're really positive. I want to schedule a regular time. I want to be able to get together with them and just let their iron sharpen my iron. I want to be an encouragement to them and have them be an encouragement to me. Or what's going to be my reminder if I start to worry? What's going to be that trigger so I can say, ha, I don't want to worry about that. I want to be grateful. Instead of worrying, I want to look. I want to see. I want to seek. What's one or two of those things that you can begin to do right now and make it a habit in your life? Just carry it over. Lord, would you help us, remind us, Holy Spirit, of the things that we can do to be grateful people. Remind us of the things that we have to be grateful for. Let it be said of our life that people can see that we're happy, and we know it. They know it because they see happiness. They see reasonableness. They see a smile on our face. They see us not looking at the things that we don't have, but being grateful for the things that we do have. So, Holy Spirit, help us to be able to build these strategies, these tips into our life. What can we do that we are grateful people, full of gratitude, full of thanks, so full of it that worry can barely find a foothold anywhere, because we can quickly drive that out of our life with all of the things that we count as blessings. Help us to do that in our own lives. May that be an encouragement to fellow saints. May it be a testimony to seekers. May it be an encouragement to people around us and future generations that you are the same God today as you were before, as you will be tomorrow, and that we can trust you and we can rely on you for all of your provisions, all of your continued blessings until the day that you take us home. Let our lives be the living, breathing testimony of how many blessings you have poured out in our lives. Help us in this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. I love you.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.